We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this woman, not traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
I'm looking out the window at a mini excavator, and it's beautiful.
Mini excavator. Describe that for people who've never seen one.
It's like a baby backhoe, like a little version.
Like a mini backhoe. And you know what the beauty is? Is that a mini excavator can fit between two trees that are only about 7 feet apart.
It only needs 8 feet clearance, right?
That's what he said. Yeah, I think there's less than 8 feet, but that's why they couldn't get a big backhoe in here. That's why the mini saved our bacon on this one. Shall we give some background?
Sure. I think people are wondering what the heck we're talking about.
Yeah. So as folks might remember from episodes back in, I think they were October of last year. So maybe seven, 8 months ago.
November, December.
There you go. We had moved in with friends of ours for a month or two as we put our house on the market because we're going to move here in town. And we moved in with friends and waited a month or two for offers. And there wasn't a ton of interest, it being winter and all that, as well as our house being a pretty unique home with koi ponds and pool. It really takes someone who kind of likes the gestalt we have going here. And so we moved back into our house at the beginning of the year. And a few months later, we got an offer and we've been in escrow now for, I think it's close to 60 days. We had a pretty long escrow.
Yeah, we asked for an extension on our escrow so we could at least get our kids through the last week of school, and the buyers graciously agreed to that.
Yeah, that was very nice because the chaos, it's funny, the chaos just starts building. You know, it's like you're in escrow, which is a little bit of a stressful process, although we've been through it a bunch, so we kind of know what to expect. But then they send out the termite inspector, and then it's like, okay, you have $1,000 in work to be done. Okay. And then they send out the inspector who does like a home inspection for the buyers, and it's like, okay, they want all this stuff done. So now you're trying to track that down. And then there's a roof certification that first someone wouldn't certify the roof because part of it is flat. And then a second guy came out and offered to certify it for another, you know, whatever it is, $750 or $1,000. So each of these things is like a little more complexity building, and you're already in escrow. And then we have our kids who are in school. And as they're finishing up the year, there's a bunch of programs and there's just a lot of events going on.
Like parties and performances and plays and recitals. And I think in the last week alone, we've had like 4 school-related performance events, which is wonderful. We're so happy that our kids are doing great things. But it's like a lot of things to keep on the calendar. And adds to the stress of scheduling the termite guy and the sheetrock guy and the this person and the handy lady. And all, like all of the things are a phone call and appointment time and somebody's got to be here. And then sort of compounded with, we need cupcakes for this school function and we need to bring ice cream for that school party. And then there's this performance and we need these costumes and we need these props. And just those two pieces of our lives, not to mention our like actual jobs, has been so busy in the last couple of weeks.
And it's unusual for us because we tend to try to keep things pretty simple, and we try to attack. I'm deliberate about trying to attack one complicated thing at a time, getting past it, and then doing the next one. So we've tried not to sell a house plus sell a business like I was doing with HitDaily last year, plus all the other stuff. And it just seems to have really compounded on us. In addition, you took a group of students down to Guatemala for 10 days just a few weeks ago.
So right in the middle of this process, I'm not even here, which creates a little bit more stress, obviously, for Rob to manage everybody. And then the kids are like, where's mommy?
Right. And so, I mean, that was not catastrophic by any means, but it just was a little more complex because as we're starting to think about looking at new schools, as we're moving, we're thinking about finding a place to move into, and we're trying to get all this stuff scheduled, and someone needs to be taking the kids as well as sometimes be here in order to meet contractors and stuff. It was a busy 10 days as well.
So let's get back to this beautiful little mini excavator in my backyard.
Yeah. So to top it all off, I mean, I really felt like we were at capacity, and we're in the midst of this, and they go to do a routine inspection of our septic system. So we're in a county island here in Fresno, and so we don't have city sewer. And so they have a septic tank on our property. And when the guys go to pump it and inspect it, they say, we can't certify this tank. Certifying means they guarantee it for a certain amount of time. I forget how long, it's probably a year or two would be my guess. And they say, we can't certify it because there are roots in the tank.
And our property is kind of unique because we live in the delusion that we live in the forest, even though we live in the middle of the city. There are, I don't know, maybe 50 redwood trees scattered throughout our property. And one of those big, beautiful old trees happened to be planted squarely on top of the septic tank.
And these trees are, I mean, that was a smaller tree and it's probably 60, 70 feet tall. We have trees that are well taller than that. And so we had to get a second company out because the first company doesn't work on tanks. They only pump them. So the second guys come out and they look and say, well, since it's so hard to get any type of access, we're going to have to like take fences down and drive across your neighbor's yard because we have so many trees and we have a koi pond blocking part of it. And so the guy quotes, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, if this is, it's going to be 10 grand or 12 grand or something, we can work with this. And he quotes a number that's $40,000.
And he's thinking he's going to have to rip out the whole septic tank, which means ripping out multiple trees and part of a porch. And like, is, I don't know, like they were going to bring it in with a crane. Like it was going to be insane.
Yeah, they were going to knock down this a big brick structure and take out an orange tree or two and really do a lot of extensive work and then dig up and saw cut. I mean, it was going to be a big mess. And it would have taken weeks and it could have feasibly delayed closing, which is something we really want to get to at this point. We need closure on something. So we want to get this house closed. And during this time, we're debating, do we schedule packers and movers to come and get this stuff or do we wait? And it's like, even as of last week, which was basically 7 days before we're supposed to close on this 60-day escrow, we just didn't know. It was still up in the air as to what we were going to do with the septic tank and if we were going to have to pay someone an enormous sum of money to come dig everything up and delay closing.
So we got a second opinion.
Yep.
And we had another person come out and give us an estimate. And he confirmed that, yes, if they have to indeed replace the whole tank and like tear out half of our yard, that could easily cost $35,000 or $40,000. But he said, let me think about how I can problem solve this. So can we remove whatever roots are there and then throw down some, what's that chemical called?
Copper sulfate. Yeah, it's a root blocker.
Copper sulfate to protect more roots from growing in. And can I just take out a small portion of the fence and instead of bringing like the crane and the giant excavator, bring a little baby excavator that fits through a space in the fence without having to take out the trees. So he just walked around the property and like really thought about it. He really thought about it and sort of used his best experience and problem solving capacity to actually try to save us money, to not charge us $40,000 for something that we maybe didn't need.
Yep. That was the key, is that he was willing to problem solve it, to think about it. And there was some work that is not ideal. You can't just get a big backhoe out and dig it out and just cookie cutter it. He had to work around pipes and he had to do some hand digging for a while, which is not the funnest thing to do, just sit there and be trenching stuff up with a pick and shovel. And he gave me a suggestion. And to be honest, the low point of all of this was when I was out in the backyard with a pick and a shovel and a rod sticking it in the ground to try to find the tank, or it was a well I was trying to find. And for 2-3 hours, I'm just digging holes in the dark with a headlamp. And I realized, you know what? We've made a wrong turn somewhere if I'm in the backyard with a pick and shovel and gloves.
Yeah, that was probably not the best use of your time.
It wasn't.
That day in particular was so chaotic because that was the day that one of Fisher's kindergarten teachers died. And like that ended up being like a big deal and a big conversation that I needed to have with him. I know you talked about him too. So we're trying to kind of do this big emotional thing with our 5-year-old and help him process and understand what's happening. And then our other son is just like super excited about the end of school and getting ready to move. And he's just like buzzing energy off the wall. And you're out there digging holes. And like my phone was ringing. I was having like sort of crisis calls from the office. And it was just this moment where I was like, I cannot think about anything else at all. Like everything or everyone in our lives was sort of demanding something of us. And you were out in the back digging holes. And I was like, no, this is not the right choice.
Yep. That was just the contractor who was working with us was just like, look, we need to figure out where stuff is. Here's my advice to you, is to just dig around until you find it. And I said, all right, I'm just going to do this. And it's kind of it's like the founder mentality. Like I really just was going to get it done. And that night as I took a shower and then was lying in bed and I thought that was not the right choice. Like I need to get I need to ask him to get out here with a shovel and just do this right and pay the experts to do it. Because I'm not trying to save money at this point. Like my time and our focus and just our together time, like you're saying, is way more important than whatever I'm going to spend paying somebody to find something. So first thing in the morning, next morning, I called him and was like, hey, if you could come out here. I mean, I kind of just called in a favor because, you know, they're 30 minutes away. And for him to drive down here with a shovel, he owns the joint. It was nice of him to do. And obviously, you know, I said, look, I'll just pay you hourly. Just charge me whatever you need. And he came down and started digging it up. And sure enough, 2 or 3 hours later, he found one of the wells and looked in and said, oh, this thing looks really good. This system, he said, I think the system is really healthy.
So that's why we're so excited to see this little mini excavator in right now, because I'm literally looking at it as they finish patching up this giant hole that they made to dig out the top of the tank. And they just gave us the news that indeed, it's not going to cost $40,000, that the tank is fine. It doesn't need to be replaced. They just needed to pull a couple of superfluous roots off the top and then try to prevent against more roots growing in the future.
But it was, and we had to take one tree out. But aside from that, it was a slam dunk. And so literally, we don't have the final bill, but I would not be surprised if it was less than $5,000 to do all this. And it took essentially a day. There was some prep work last week, but less than a day to do this. And so as of now, it looks like we're going to close on time. It looks like we'll actually potentially walk away with a little bit of money from the house instead of having all of that going to replace the septic tank. And today is a good day.
And so you might wonder why we're telling you all this story, but I think it's a good example of us honestly getting quite derailed. Those of you who are frequent listeners know we didn't put out an episode last week. And part of that was because we just were at such capacity with all of the sort of things going on in our lives. It's not that we couldn't find the time. It's that we honestly couldn't find the thoughts. Like we couldn't talk about anything that wasn't related to who's taking what kid where and how much it's going to cost to get this like shit figured out. So I think we've been trying to strike the balance of how much do you just let life derail you and how much do you really work to fight against getting derailed and to stay focused on business and podcasts and commitments that you've made despite circumstances.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a few steps to this and some thought that can help keep you from getting derailed and help us keep from getting as derailed in the future. And the first part of that is to be pretty deliberate about trying not to attack too many complicated things at once. Like if you keep your life relatively simple and calm, as relatively simple and calm as you can, you know, a lot of us do have lives that are a little more complex. If you're married or have kids or something, it can be a little more complex than being single. But if you're not attacking like brand new things like buying a house, selling a house, buying a business, selling a business, changing jobs, you know, all those things, it's like try to limit those to one thing at a time and to push the others off as much as you can until that one's done so that you have enough headspace and enough margin to deal with everything as well as you can.
So prevention is, I think, the wisest, best decision whenever possible, preventing getting to the point where you're so overwhelmed that you get derailed. But honestly, I think in this case, there were a lot of things that happened all at once, and the timing of them was really outside of our control. Like my trip to Guatemala with the students has been on the books for 9 months, and it just happened that even though we put our house for sale in November, it didn't close until right now. And so there was really no way to avoid those things happening in the timing that it did. And of course, we have no control over the school schedules and the timing of school. And we had no control over this loss of Fisher's teacher, which wasn't tremendously derailing to us in our professional lives, but meant we needed to have some extra time and extra conversations with him. So when you can't prevent too many things happening at once, what's your strategy there, Rob Walling?
I think part of the strategy as these things start to ramp up is to notice that they are ramping up, because we saw it coming, right? We saw that you were leaving. We saw we were going to be in escrow. We didn't see the septic stuff necessarily, but we started bracing ourselves for this. And I tried to get out ahead of as much as I could in order to kind of anticipate it. And although we couldn't avoid it, I was trying to simplify things. And so we sat down a couple weeks ago and I said, look, for the next 60 days, things are going to be pretty chaotic. So let's just, if we need to eat out 3 nights a week or something just to keep things simple, which we haven't done. But I was trying to express like, let's not stress about this and let's give the kids a lot of leeway because they're going to be stressed about the move. And let's do some things for a short season of time and, you know, including like eliminating some things. So I have some recurring events that I do every other week or every few weeks. And I kind of put those on hold for the time being. So I'm not going to do some of the calls and some of the other things that I typically do. So I tried to eliminate everything that was absolutely non-essential just for this time period with plans to come back as we kind of reemerge from it.
Yeah, I think creating the space to be frustrated or to be a little bit dysregulated is really important. And being okay with skipping some things, like honestly, skipping the podcast last week, that's the first time we've ever done that. That felt like a big deal. But after we just decided, you know, it's not going to happen this week. And actually, we had scheduled a time to record, and it was like at 9 p.m. one night, and I fell like solidly asleep at 8:30 and like wasn't going to wake up to record the podcast. And we just let it go. And that was okay.
Yeah. And that was unusual. I think both of us, I took it pretty hard that we didn't release an episode last week, because we, like you said, we've never done that. And I feel like we have a commitment to the listeners and to the show itself. And so it was absolutely an extenuating circumstance for that to happen. The other thing I would say is that you and I have divided and conquered quite well here. And this is when having that partner in life who can A, take care of half of the tasks, but B, the moral support. I know that I've needed that quite a bit over the past few weeks, just as things have gotten rough and we've been able to talk through them and ask that question to each other. What do you need? What do you need help with? How can we kind of get through this together?
Yeah, we don't always do that perfectly either. I think as there's been more and more stress, I tend to get really task oriented and like struggle to sort of be a good listener, maybe. Or it's interesting because I think you have felt more of the acute stress and you've been like sort of more visibly stressed out, and I've been more visibly like, let's just get things done. Rah, 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 rah. I almost wish I had been a little bit more supportive of you, because I think you showed, or you kind of carried some of the stress on the outside a little bit more than I did, maybe. And I just got really like nuts and bolts about things.
Which I think has been helpful because it kind of drove some stuff forward. I'm also dealing with some interesting, exciting, and time-consuming stuff that's happening in my business life right now, and that creates a whole other realm of stress. We'll talk about that at some episode in the future, but that has made it a little hard, as I already have something else that then these things are essentially piling on. And it feels like the personal life is overwhelming the business life right now, which isn't the best feeling for me.
Yeah. And it's hard to prioritize when there's so many demands at one time. Like, the demands that are happening with you and your business are time sensitive, and you know, they have to get done now, like yesterday. But so are the things that are happening in our family life. Like, Esker's got to close, the kids got to get placed, you know, like all of those things. So all in all, I think we've done a pretty good job. Although, you know, the title of this episode is Derailed, because I think we have been derailed. Like, we have been less focused on some of the things that we would like to focus on, and we've been less productive. None of my like rhythms of writing have held up to the last month and the stressors that have come up. And I know that there's been some things that you have let go as well. So we're kind of doing this like post-op analysis of how this season of derailment has gone. And I think some of it has just been unavoidable, and it's maybe okay to get derailed every now and then. Like, it just can't always be helped. But I think we're also, in part of this conversation, trying to be intentional about shifting or reshifting our focus towards the goals that we're working on and the things that we're trying to tackle.
Yeah. And you know, the nights when I was waking up at 4 a.m, which is an unusual thing for me because I've never had trouble sleeping, but just for the past 6 to 12 months, on and off, as there's been stressful things that have come up or really time consuming and intense things, I've started to have weird, you know, waking up in the middle of the night things where I'm up for an hour or two. And when I was doing that, I was asking myself, what's the worst that can happen here? Like, with the specific thing I was thinking about. So I was thinking about the septic, and I was thinking, what's the worst that can happen? Well, the house doesn't close on time. Okay. What does that lead to? Well, it means that maybe we potentially could lose the buyer, which is a really big deal because we've only had really this one serious offer the whole time. Okay. So what's the worst that happens then? Well, we leave it on the market and we have to pay rent for it even though we've moved out of it. Okay. So what's, you know, I kept asking that question. And yes, it was a bummer. It was not ideal, but none of them wound up with us being destitute, living on the street, going bankrupt, having a business fail, losing the life of someone. Like, none of those things were that bad. They are just things that you can easily get caught up with, and you forget that the real score is like life. It's like, is everyone healthy? Is everyone safe? And are we generally doing good and have good friends and relationships, and we're going to keep pushing forward? And the answer is yes. Like, none of that impacts that. It's just a bump along the way. And if it doesn't resolve itself, we'll deal with it. And if it resolves itself, then you're wasting time here at 4 a.m. when you really should be sleeping.
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful question. I talk to people about that question all the time. And the what's the worst that could happen, or so what if it happens? I think those kinds of questions are really good at just helping to rebalance perspective and realize that even though like the septic tank felt like a huge deal, really nothing truly catastrophic was going to come out of this problem. And I think like one of the positive parts of this experience is just to remember once again how awesome it is to come across like an honest, helpful, problem-solving person. And this guy, Tim, that sort of helped us with the baby excavator, like he just was that at a time that we really needed that. And I think it's like a good reminder of wanting to be that for other people too. Like, I think it was really easy for some of the guys we had come in and do estimates to be like, oh yeah, bad tank, there's roots, take it all out, and not really look carefully. And I know in my work, I desire to be someone who takes the extra time and like looks carefully and tries to solve the problem in a way that really is best for the person that I'm working with. I don't know. I think that's been like a really big, like helpful piece of this whole derailment is just how good it is to work with somebody who's good and who's truly trying to be helpful.
So if you're listening to this, raise a glass for Tim and for septic certifications. Those are probably words that were never uttered in the history of the world before just now.
And break out the fine wine when you do that.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.